Es gibt eine Botschaft in meinen Texten, aber ich kann Ihnen nicht sagen, welche Botschaft das ist. Das sagt Jon Fosse. Der norwegische Literaturnobelpreisträger ist 2013 zur katholischen Kirche übergetreten. Religion und Glaube, die Suche nach einer Sprache für das Unaussprechliche, spielen in seinen Texten eine wichtige Rolle. Der Theologe, Philosoph und Mystiker Meister Eckhart habe ihn stark beeinflusst, sagt Fosse. In seinem Buch Ein Leuchten heißt es, ich zitiere: Es ist, als spräche die Stille zu mir, aber eine Stille kann wohl nicht sprechen. Jon Fosse ist bei uns. Guten Tag.
Yes, hello, all of you. Yeah, here I am.
Kann eine Stille sprechen? Kann es so still sein, dass man eine Stille anfassen könnte, wie Ihr Ich-Erzähler in dem Buch Ein Leuchten es empfindet?
In a way, of course, silent cannot speak, but still it speaks. I guess it was Thomas Merton who said that if you wanted to hear the voice of God, you had to listen to the silence. God speak through the silence. And I feel he's close to a kind of truth in experience this, and that he's formulating a kind of truth. In writing, I think I always have tried to reach a kind of level of silence where something is still said. It's in a way said, not from this part or that part, it's said from the whole of a novel or a play or whatever. And it's very clear, to me at least, in the theater, if a production is great, it has to do with the wholeness of it. And this wholeness is, of course, speaking silent. It doesn't express itself in an obvious way, but you can reckon it, you know it, when it is there. If you feel the presence of God, to put it like that, it's also, of course, a silent presence.
God is someone we don't know what it is. Even we don't know what we mean when we say God. Sie haben auch mal gesagt, das Schreiben hat mich zu einem religiösen Menschen gemacht. Wie ist das geschehen?
Quite many years very afraid of using the word God, because if you use it, you get misunderstood. People connected with this or that and have many ideas or imagine things and connect them to God. Because of that, they don't believe in God, because they have this or that picture of it. Even I was like that when I was young. I believed the picture that was taught me by the Norwegian church. It was, I didn't believe in that kind of God, as simple as that. And I'm an atheist, I don't believe in this. So that's, in a way, my relation to it. So it doesn't belong to our categories. It's outside space, it's outside time, it doesn't have anything to do with causality, etc., etc. Nahe ist Gott und schwer zu fassen. Ja.
Wie ist das mit dem Gebet? Ich ist ein anderer. In Ihrem Roman, da spielt das Gebet eine wichtige Rolle. Das Vaterunser, das Ave Maria. Und manche Texte lesen sich ja auch wie Psalmen. Was unterscheidet zum Beispiel ein Gedicht, vielleicht auch ein Prosatext, von einem Gebet?
When I left my atheism behind, it had a lot to do with my own writing, to be honest, because I had no idea from where it came. I just sit down, start writing, and then I listen to something, and then it happens. And so it is. But where does it come from? I couldn't explain it in any possible materialistic way, at least with my brain. It wasn't possible. So that opened a field, a new field for me, a kind of spiritual field, if you want. And then I started to find some people I could, in a way, believe together with, and I ended up with the Quakers. Yeah, in many ways, I'm still a Quaker. Then John Fox in the 18th century said about the same. And he was a Dominican and lived that early. So when I read him and I read him quite a lot. And I felt, in the end, I felt that could he be a Catholic? Then it's possible even for me to be a Catholic, to put it that way. I once said in an interview, it's quite many years ago, that I felt that writing was like praying. I felt very stupid when I said that. It isn't possible. A bit later, I read Franz Kafka. He had said just the same, that writing is a kind of praying. I wouldn't say that all, not everything I'm writing is a kind of, can be equalized to a kind of prayer. But some of my writing, I think, can be equalized to it, or even be said to be a kind of prayer. You mentioned Septologie, or Heptalogie, as it's called in German. There's prayer into it, but perhaps even the whole quite big novel is a kind of prayer. Yeah.
Sie haben das gerade auch gesagt, wenn Sie schreiben, hätten Sie das Gefühl, dass Sie mit jemand anders sprechen, dass jemand anders Sie beeinflusst dabei.
Of course, it's my voice, it's my techniques of writing and my language, etc., etc. But then I have, at a certain point, when I've written 10 pages or even less, then I get this feeling that what I'm about to write, it's already written. But it's out there, it's not inside, it's out there somewhere. And I just have to listen to it and write it down before it disappears, yeah. Sometimes I manage that more or less directly without changing much or anything. Other times I have to search for this picture, this text that is already there. I have to rewrite to change this and that and to find it in a way. When I'm writing, I have to escape myself. I'm not expressing myself in any way. I try to escape myself. I try to go into the unknown and come back to myself and to others if it's published with something new, something that didn't exist in this world before I've written it. And to me, I've been a writer for quite many years by now. I'm 65 and I wrote my first novel when I was 20. And I even wrote before that. So the great thing about being a writer, to me, by now, it's the writing itself, just the writing process. At the same time, I have this feeling that writing, to manage to write, then you get a kind of gift. And because of this gift dimension, or how to put it, I feel that I shouldn't write too often. I try to make breaks in between each new play or new novel or whatever. My poems, they just happen or they don't happen. So that's something else.
Ist ja ganz ähnlich mit dem Glauben. Auch der Glaube ist ein Geschenk. Man kann den Glauben ja auch nicht erzwingen. Nochmal zu Ihrem Roman, Ich ist ein anderer. Der Künstler kann seine Kunst überhaupt praktizieren oder ausüben, weil er auch glaubt. Also die Religion ermöglicht es ihm und er kann auch mit der Verstorbenen alles sprechen. Glauben Sie, dass es möglich ist, ein Leben nach dem Tod oder dass wir mit Toten sprechen können?
I grew up in a Protestant Lutheran tradition and there you have a huge distance between people here in this side, in this world and people there on the other side, in the other world. It's a complete distance. In the Catholic tradition, perhaps because of the saints and that basically because that you can pray to dead people in a certain way, then they are holy. But there are many saints. I think a definition of it is a person that's in heaven, and that's not only the persons that the Vatican has said you are in heaven. It's so. Of course, you can then have a kind of praying relation, at least, to dead people. When I'm writing, let's say, a novel, I have to write it the way you can write it in a novel. Then I write it as a dialogue. I think it's very rarely a dialogue in that way that it's in my novel. That's the way I write a novel, yeah. You have to use words to say what perhaps cannot be said in words. And it's a bit like that, I think, with Asle and Ales in Septology. They are, in a more or less real way, talking to one another and have a very close relation, even if one is dead and the other is alive.
Sie sind der katholischen Kirche beigetreten. Was bedeutet denn Kirche für Sie, speziell die katholische Kirche?
I had very much against the church I grew up in. I felt it, what I thought and what I believed, it was a kind of complete stupidity. That was in the Norwegian, let's say, 60s. The Norwegian church has changed a lot since then. That has to be said. But I left that church when I could, when I was 16. And I considered myself, and as I said, a kind of atheist, as perhaps not really, but if you have to be anything, I think I would call me, or thought of myself as a kind of atheist and a kind of Marxist in a way. When I was very young, I played the guitar quite a lot, and I also painted, and I started out writing very early. So I've had a closeness to this, let's call it art. I was, of course, I wasn't an artist. I wrote very bad poetry, and my paintings were awful, etc., etc. And I was a very bad musician, by the way. So, but still, I felt I belonged to that side of life. And in this field of the arts, to put it that way, there's a kind of spirituality alive. It's all about that. I was once invited to a meeting in the 16th Chapel, a meeting with the artist, and then the message from the church or the Pope was, in fact, that perhaps the artist might well not need the church, but the church need the artists. And I think that's a good way to think it, because art, if it's good art, of course, keeps a spiritual level. Good art keeps a spiritual level in society. And that, I think, to start believing, you need a certain spiritual level.
Was bedeutet es Ihnen, in Köln zu sein, hier in der Stadt?
I'm happy to be back here. When I was very young, again, I traveled on Interrail. I was 16, I think, and that was the first time I visited Köln and even the church. Afterwards, I've been here sometimes because of productions in the theater.
Köln ist eine katholische Metropole. Hier sind sehr viele Katholiken. Das ist was anderes als in Norwegen. Da gibt es nur wenige Katholiken.
We are very, very few. The huge majority of Norwegian Catholics are converts, like myself. So we are converts, and quite many Catholics in Norway, but they are, most of them are from Poland or from elsewhere. Yeah.
Und die Kirche, wenn Sie den Gottesdienst besuchen, wenn Sie eine Messe besuchen, was bedeutet das für Sie?
Ganz viel will ich sagen. I've been a Catholic more or less for 15 years now. And especially in the beginning, the Mass gave me a lot. And the Mass is, of course, the Eucharist. the readings, and so you can read it themselves and blah, blah. So, but it's the Eucharist. And the mystery of faith, that means a lot to me, to enter it in a certain way together with all the other peoples, not just alone. Many people would look upon them as idiots, in a way. In Norway, it's a kind of rebellion, of course, to convert and not to hide it, as I decided not to do it, and to be completely open about it. And then I wrote this Septology of mine. It isn't a Catholic novel, I would say, but it's about the main character. He's a Catholic and a believer and a painter. So I expected it to be disliked and to get very bad reviews and to be turned down in a way. But the strange thing is that the opposite happened in Norway and everywhere. We have a new bishop in Trondheim. He's called Erik Varden. He's a very good man. And he wrote to me that this novel of mine was so well received. He took that as as one and more sign that we are living in a kind of post-secularized time, the time after secularism, in a way, yeah. The secular period is in a way over, and we are going somewhere else. Yeah.
Intellektuelle, kluge Menschen könnten sagen, die Katholiken glauben, dass man Brot, ein bisschen Brot und ein bisschen Wein in Fleisch und Blut verwandeln kann. Sind Sie denn bescheuert?
It isn't so simple to explain that, the Eucharist. Of course, it isn't. It's a lot. And the way it is working, I think. And how it is working, it's impossible to describe, I think. In the oldest times, they accused the Christians for being cannibals, in a way. It's the body and blood of Christ, but whatever that might be, we don't know what it is. Of course, we don't know. It's a mystery. It's the mystery of faith. There's something. That when I was about to convert, my teacher, and he's an old Dominican priest and or pater in Oslo, he took me into the church, a small church, Dominican church, and he pointed to the tabernacle and he said, "There's something in there. There's something there."
Wir sind in einem dunklen Wald festgefahren in dem Wald, es schneit, wir sind in der Dunkelheit. Was tröstet Sie, was tröstet uns?
It depends a lot, I think, on who you are talking with, of course. But for me, since I was quite young, I found a kind of consolation, or it has given me what might be called art, has given me a lot. Yeah, be it literature or the painting or the visual arts, and I think many people get a kind of consolation from that. Some people get it from an honest belief. I guess it's just the same in a Catholic society, perhaps even more than in a Lutheran society, that people have a very not an internalized relation to the act. As they are supposed to act, and they trust in the belief of the church. I have a much more mystical approach, to call it that, or internalized approach. I don't like the word mysticism, mystique is feel better, that you don't find in the Catholic Church because you have such a long tradition for it. You don't have that in the Protestant Church.
Herr Vosse, können wir der Stille durch die Sprache entfliehen oder macht uns das Ganze nicht sprachlos?
I think the language is both what separates us from God and what connects us to God. And another paradox. There are so many paradoxes in a kind of Christian belief. Good literature, it managed to establish, even if it's completely dark or whatever, a kind of reconciliation or a kind of peace. I cannot explain it. I don't know. But Paul Celan, for instance, there's strangely enough, there's a kind of peace. Beckett the same. There's a kind of peace to it. Not in an obvious way, but still that has to do with the quality of the literature in itself, I would say. And not that kind of writer. There's much more reconciliation or even peace in my writing as it is. It isn't that black. To a certain degree.
Ein Leuchten. Es bleibt ein Leuchten am Ende. Eine Ahnung vielleicht, eine Ahnung. Nun bekommen Sie den Mülheims Theaterpreis. Sie sind Literaturnobelpreisträger. Ja. Was bedeutet Ihnen dieser Preis? Ein kleiner Preis?
I really am a humble man, and when someone wants to give me such a prize, I'm very happy for it, of course. And then I feel I have to go and receive it and say thank you for it. Yeah. So and that for me as a Catholic, this prize has a Catholic connection. That gives it to me a special value, of course.
Vielen Dank. Vielen Dank, Jon Vosse. In der Gottesverborgenheit kann ich mich selbst verbergen. Das haben Sie auch einmal gesagt. Auch ein Paradoxon wieder. Seine Texte umkreisen das große Ganze, das zugleich alles ist und auch nichts. lesen Sie die Bücher von Jon Fosse. Auf Deutsch sind sie im Rowohlt Verlag erschienen. Ein Leuchten, so heißt das neueste Buch, über einen Mann, der sich im dunklen, verschneiten Wald verirrt und dort eine Gestalt, ein Licht, ein Leuchten, vielleicht ein Urgrund oder Ungrund findet. Vielen Dank für das Gespräch.
Vielen Dank. Ja, nice to talk to you.